Fusion City Church, welcome to Fusion City Church Online. Today, we are in Bakers Creek Park, a great, beautiful place. I'm so excited about the content today, both the songs that we're going to sing together and the scripture that we're going to read together. So let's get right into this. I encourage you, wherever you're at, in your living room, in your bedroom, let's prepare our hearts to sing together.
You're still my father, and no one is stronger.
Thank you for singing along with us this morning. In just a few moments, our teaching pastor, Brian Duncan, is going to share some out of God's Word with us today. But before that happens, I wanted to share with you the results, some things that are happening since last week. Last week, we initiated a prayer request form for all of you to fill out and submit prayer requests. And I want to thank you all for sharing your prayer concerns with us. Just a few days ago, our 7-year-old little boy, his name's Chase, our son, he came into our bedroom in the wee hours of the night, and he was just crying. And I said, what's wrong, Chase? And he said, I'm really, really scared about this coronavirus. And I just think that my plans for my birthday in August, they're just going to go away. And he was just sobbing. And I said, Chase, buddy, that's in August. Don't worry. Like, we'll get through that, right? But here's what I realized. 7-year-olds and 38-year-olds and all of us, we're worried about what tomorrow holds. And we're seeing that in all of your prayer requests. You guys are asking for prayer over your jobs. Some are furloughed, some are laid off, some hours are cut. We're worried about that. Others are worried about family members and health and sickness, and we're worried about our kids. And here's what I want you to know. As a staff at Fusion City Church, we're praying for every one of those prayer requests. By name, we're praying for you, that God would continue to just shed his blessings, pour his blessings out on all of you. So continue to send in prayer requests. Every time you feel this anxiety, every time you see this need, send us the prayer request, and we'll be praying for you. As a matter of fact, I would like to pray for all of us right now. Will you pray with me? Dear God, God, we love you and we thank you that we can come to you, the one who really matters, the one, the only one who can give us hope and strength and peace. So God, I pray now for every prayer request that we have received, those who are hurting, those who are worried, those who are anxious. God, I pray that you'll give them peace. God, I pray that you'll show off in big, big ways so that we know that you're the only one that really matters. So God, we love you. God, we thank you most of all for your son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray, amen.
Well, good morning. Today, I wanted to take just a few minutes of your time today to talk about peace. You know, when I think about peace, there's nothing more relaxing and peaceful to me than sitting in a hammock beside of a stream, and that's exactly where I am today. And I think that all of us, you know, even in this situation or even any time really, we're always on the search for more peace. And the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Philippi, he gives us the cure for anxiety and the source of peace. And not just any kind of peace, but God's peace. And so I wanted to share just a few verses with you today out of Philippians chapter 4, where Paul tells us how we can have access to the peace of God. So let's start reading together again, Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4. Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." Now Paul says, rejoice always, in every situation and in all types of ways, rejoice. At every moment, rejoice. It's kind of interesting because Paul is actually writing this letter from prison and tells us, hey, rejoice always. If anybody knew what it meant to rejoice in all situations, it was Paul. Dude's in prison and talking about rejoicing. And then he repeats it. And we've talked about this before in church. Anytime scripture repeats itself, it's trying to stress to us the importance of what's being said. So Paul says, rejoice. Let me say it again. Rejoice. Do it always. He commands us to rejoice. Now, maybe that strikes you as odd that Paul would command us to rejoice. After all, if rejoicing is something we do because of a way that we feel, it's really hard to command somebody to feel something, right? Think about it. Right now, where you are, wherever you are right now, be mad. See, I can't command you to do that. You might could try to look mad. You could furrow your brow and try to look angry. But unless you were already mad, I can't command you to be mad. Same thing with sad, right? Be sad. Do it right now. Be sad right where you are. See, unless you were already sad, you can't make yourself be sad. Sadness is a feeling. Anger is a feeling. Those are things that we feel. So Paul gives us a command to rejoice because it's not about how we feel. It's not even about our circumstances. Because the command to rejoice is an anchored command. It's tied to something. And here's what Paul says. Not just rejoice, but rejoice in the Lord. Now, Paul tells us that because we're anchoring this to the idea that there's something to which we can tie our rejoicing. Think about it this way. Is God bigger than your problems? Has God faced things like this before? Does God have solutions that maybe you haven't thought of yet? Is God sovereign? Is God still on his throne? Is God still in control? You see, when we anchor the idea of rejoicing to what we know about God, that gives us the ability to do that regardless of our circumstances. God has a good track record. God has gotten us through stuff like this before, whatever trial that we're in. But our perspective changes when we tie our hope to something, when we tie our rejoicing to something. Then Paul goes on in verse 6 to say this. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." See, Paul gives us a contrasting statement here. He says, don't be anxious, instead, pray. In other words, prayer is the cure for the things that make us anxious. That prayer is the foundation on which we can rejoice in the middle of all that we have going on. And then Paul goes on to define for us prayer. He defines it in three different terms. First, Paul says by prayer and supplication. All that means is that we recognize our need for something outside of ourselves. And then he says with thanksgiving, with an attitude of gratefulness because of all that we've seen God do in the past and all that we believe that God can do in the midst of our current circumstances. And then he says, with all of that in mind, let your requests be made known to God. You see, anytime we request something, that is our recognition of the ability of somebody else to provide for us the thing that we're requesting. Our requests remind us that God is the one who provides for us. You see, prayer has both an attitude and an altitude. That when we pray, we should do so gratefully because of who we know God to be and all that we've seen him do and all that we believe that he can do in the midst of whatever circumstances we find ourselves in. But it also has an altitude because prayer raises our perspective to look from heaven down instead of horizontally at all the things that are going on around us. It changes our perspective to one that has God in view, that has heaven in mind. It reminds me of the same thing that David said in Psalm 121. David said, "I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? It comes from the maker of heaven and earth." Paul and David knew the exact same thing, that we should change our perspective from our earthly circumstances to our heavenly provider, to our heavenly Father. Man, what a tremendous perspective shift that can provide for us when we find ourselves in difficult circumstances. And then Paul goes on to say that when we do this, when we make the decision to not be anxious, but instead to pray and to shift our perspective heavenward, this is what he says. He says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Paul says that when we pray, that we're offered and extended the peace of God. And this peace has three characteristics. First of all, it's God's peace. It's divine. It's heavenly. It's not the kind of peace that you and I have access to our own. It can only be given to us by God. The second thing that Paul says is that it surpasses our understanding. I don't know about you, but with all this virus stuff going on and even some of the other circumstances and situations and things that we hear about in the news, I find myself oftentimes saying to myself, God, I just don't understand why all this is happening. Here's what Paul says. When we have access to the peace of God, we have access to a peace that goes beyond our understanding. In other words, I don't have to understand to still be able to have peace. Man, what an amazing promise. And then the third thing about God's peace is that it guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. The word guards there is actually a military term in the Greek. And this would have been a very common idea for the people in the church at Philippi because they were under Roman authority and under Roman rule. There were Roman guards everywhere. And they were there to keep outside threats from coming in to take over or to disrupt what they had going on. So Paul here says that that peace of God is going to guard your heart in the same way that a Roman soldier guards and protects the gates of this city. The peace of God will guard and protect your heart. And then he concludes with some encouragement in verses 8 and 9. He says this. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Man, what an encouraging promise right from the Word of God, that we can choose to think good things, things that are excellent and praiseworthy. And when we do, the peace of God will be with us all. And that's my prayer for you, that even in the midst of all the uncertainty and all the questions and all the questioning and wondering and what ifs and why this, my hope is that the peace of God would be with each and every one of you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for peace, for your peace. God, we need it right now, maybe more than we have at any other point. And so, Father, my hope and my prayer in this season is that you would continue to provide your peace to your children. God, we will make the commitment and challenge ourselves to not be anxious, but instead to turn our attention heavenward, to pray with gratefulness in our hearts, God, acknowledging that you are the one that can provide all that we need. We thank you, Father, that when we do that, that the promise from your word is that you provide a peace for us that is divine and heavenly, that goes beyond our ability to understand, and a peace that guards and protects our hearts and our minds through your Son, Jesus. And so, Father, we extend right now our gratefulness to you for your Son, for the hope and the peace and the joy and the life that we have through him. And it's in his name I pray. Amen.